I've flown on.
I'm Tom, that's Mike, and on the line we are honored and privileged to have on one-third of the BDK trio for the Chikara King of Trios tournament this coming weekend, starting on Friday, April the 15th, ending on Sunday the 17th. As well, he will also be in the HWA Heartland Cup, which is coming up, I believe, on the 22nd and the 23rd in Owensville, Ohio. Tim Donst is on the line. We're recording this on Monday night. Unfortunately, the news broke a few hours ago that Larry Sweeney has passed away, and we wanted to talk about, because we talked about it before we got on the line, you wanted to talk about some of your thoughts and some of your memories of Larry, so the floor is yours.
Yeah, you know, just like you guys, I just found out through an email probably a few hours ago, and I just wanted to say that I know how the Chikara 101 message board, a lot of fans are talking about the memories of Sweeney. And, you know, one of the proudest things about me as a wrestler is that I can honestly say Sweeney was the first guy that I was friends with in professional wrestling, because obviously he trained at the Chikara Wrestle Factory. And, you know, I was 16 years old. He was currently the Young Lions Cup champion, and by all means, he didn't need to give me the time of day or anything else like that. I was nothing but a student. But, you know, he always treated me like an equal. I was always fascinated. I thought it was so cool that I could say that a friend that was a professional wrestler, and I just miss him. I think he's a stand-up guy, and, you know, I'll always be the big brother I never had in the crazy world of professional wrestling.
You actually had, I think you were in his final match in Chikara in that Cibernetico, and I think anyone who's seen the Cibernetico, I believe it was last October, can say that was maybe one of the best Chikara matches, I think, in the promotion's history. That was just so much fun with just that molten hot crowd and, you know, just all the guys just working, just at full blast. It was a lot of fun, and that was, I think, Larry coming out as Vokador when, I guess, like in the BDK storyline going on, you were kind of Vokador, so that kind of all paralleled together. And I guess, what are your thoughts on that that Cibernetico match that you had with Larry, yeah, I guess, which was his final Chikara match?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Like, Sweeney, at that point in time, I hadn't seen Sweeney in probably, I think I saw him randomly at a Chicago show about a year and a half earlier. And then, since then, I hadn't seen him in a few years. And unfortunately, that's kind of the nonsense downside of professional wrestling. And I know it's kind of cliched, but you really don't, you know, see some of your best friends for, you know, months to years. And, as the case with Sweeney and some of my other friends, you know, you don't really skip a beat. I think a lot of times your friends, whether from high school or work or whatever, if you don't communicate with them for extended time period, you guys lose touch. You guys, you know, it's kind of awkward when you first see each other. But with Sweeney and other professional wrestling friends, I mean, you don't skip a beat. You always ask how he was doing, and that's certainly the case for that day. I think concerning the match, probably the biggest pop from the crowd certainly was when he unmasked and people saw was Sweeney. I know the crowd kind of saying everyone was excited to see him, and you know, I think it's just another note on how in Chikara it's very hard for guys like myself who certainly don't do a lot of lucha, who don't do flips, or even that I have the most drawn out character when it comes to, you know, ants and ice creams and everything else, and yet, you know, Sweeney Rose became a star, and that Cibernetico match kind of proved why, because every time you saw Sweeney wrestle, especially if you were live, he always customized what he was doing in the ring. He always knew that that performance was going to be different from the performance down the road, whether he looked at you, or he said something particular to you, or responded to something that somebody else said in the crowd. Every time you saw Sweeney wrestle, it was a different experience, and that's why I think he was so successful, and that's one of the reasons why Cibernetico was so successful, was because he was in it.
Now, a lot of people have shared a lot of memories of Larry, you know, online and such today. If someone were to come to you and ask you, how should I remember Larry Sweeney, or even how do you remember Larry Sweeney, how would you like others to remember Larry?
Certainly for his contributions. He always laugh, makes you laugh. I know that, like, a lot of times during promo segments, I, in an arrogant way, I claim to be the greatest in landscape champion of all time. But, I mean, I always viewed him having that role. I think that, you know, spending so much time on him as a, on the road when I was 16 years old, I would pick his brain and ask him advice because he's the king, you know, of interview segments and impromptu voiceover work or whatever the case may be. And I know that I kind of have some funny memories of him when I was 16 years old in the state of Pennsylvania. I'm sure you guys probably know that you can't drive past 11 o'clock, at least it used to be when you still have your learner's permit. And because I'd wrestle now in town, Pennsylvania, which is an hour outside of Stroudsburg, I'd have to get a note saying, you know, I came up, yeah. I came out of a practice in case I got pulled over, so I think my license revoked. And Sweeney would always make these, like, super long, cocky, obnoxious notes and, you know, sign his name. Unfortunately, I never got pulled over, but I kind of wish I did just so I can hand a police officer a note from Larry Sweeney saying that I was okay to drive.
I'm sorry if you, but Tim, you probably haven't heard yet. They're probably maybe do something for him on Friday, I guess, for King of Trios. Maybe Tim Balsula, I would assume, or
I have no idea.
I mean, yeah, it just happened, basically, you know. So probably.
Yeah, I mean, Chikara is a family. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure whether it's I'd assume somehow be knowledge with the fans. But I can guarantee you, you know, it'd be knowledge between myself and the boys this coming weekend, because I mean, even though Sweeney unfortunately hasn't been with us every show, it's not like people still don't, you know, talk amongst each other, keep track of him, see what he's been up to, or even so, you know, talk about fun memories of him. Sorry for letting off on such a tangent, by the way, before, but just it's not that I really truly can't fathom. I mean, he was like my, you know, he's my big brother to me. He was like my hero. He was the first guy in wrestling I looked up to. I was like 16 years old, and he totally could have been the biggest jerk to me in the world because of where he was in the company at the time and where he was on the indies at the time, but he wasn't. He was always a cool guy, and, you know, I always thank him for that.
Exactly. That's real nice, and I really thank you for sharing those memories with us. Sounds like a great guy, and I could tell you, too, as, like, you know, as a fan, you know, Larry always kind of seemed really nice at the gimmick table, too. Obviously, he was trying to sell you a shirt, but he was always just a real nice guy when he just talked to you and always called you buddy or something like that, too. So I always, in the couple of times I met Larry, you know, just talking with the shows, he was always a really nice guy. So real sad to hear that. Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I guess, you know, we had talked about King of Trios, and you have a big match coming up at King of Trios. I think you're actually the only BDK team. I think, and you're also the captain as well. You're featuring Jacob Hammermeyer and Delirious as well. So I guess what are your thoughts on King of Trios as you're in the first round against the Soul Touches?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. I think, you know, I think the Soul Touches kind of always bring out the best of myself and the BDK. We had a really awesome match in New York City and Brooklyn, I think, last year at some point in time. It could have been, perhaps it was a little bit sooner than that. But then most recently, myself and Pinky Sanchez got the chance to beat him up in Williamsport, so I'm sure King of Trios being even a bigger stage than both those shows that we're going to go all out.
And you know, you do, once again, you are the leader of the BDK team a long time, alongside Jakob and Delirious. You've had quite a run of King of Trios teams. You've teamed with Team Andrew. You've teamed with the Order of Neo Solar Temple. Real quick, if you could kind of compare and contrast your team this year to your teams of years past, especially with Jakob being, I believe this is his second Chikara match, and correct me if I'm wrong. So a much different team than you've had in years past.
Okay, well, I believe my first team was Drew Gulak and Andy Sumner, who was a complete opposite, obviously, than previous incarnations of the BDK. You know, then, you know, last year I had Lince Dorado and Pinky Sanchez, who I really enjoyed teaming with. I think the three of us combined both bring out, you know, something different in each other and bring out strengths in each other's wrestling abilities as opposed to only hiding our weaknesses. And I was really entertained with that team. I think fans were really entertained. And this year is a little bit more uncertain. We have obviously Jacob, who's about to wrestle his second match, I believe. Obviously, King of Trios is an interesting place to walk out your fresh wrestling boots, if you will. And then I have a guy like Delirious, who's been all over the world, who's been a top star in the indies for years now. So this team could certainly be my favorite team over the past 2 years, depending on how this weekend plays out.
It's a dark horse team. And I don't know if you kind of looked around at the other competitors yet, but I know maybe like the kid in you is probably really excited to maybe face the 1-2-3 kid down the line, or you know, even the Amazing Red, who you probably even watched when he, you know, Red was first getting in the indies about, you know, 10 years ago at the SAT. So I guess what kind of other teams in the King of Trios, maybe potentially, not to look too far ahead, but would you like to wrestle maybe in the second round or so?
Well, two teams probably I'd say is one, certainly, you know, I think they're called Team Minnesota for two reasons. One, obviously, because of 1-2-3 Kid and how awesome he is. And I only got a chance to meet him once while I was out in California, and he was a really cool guy back then, so I'm looking forward to seeing him lead on the 1-2-3 Kid stick, as well as we had a really awesome match with Eric Cannon and his teammates last year, so it'd be fun to mix up with them in the ring once again. But also I really look forward to mixing up with the Soccer Pro as well. Ultimo Spider Jr., who's coming over, I was a really cool guy while I was in Japan. I beat him up. I got to make him tap out to the inverted chikara special, and I wouldn't mind doing that again.
What was that like in Japan, if real quick you could talk about recently? I guess you were over in Japan. What was that like?
It was awesome. It was incredible. Obviously, the culture difference is, you know, completely different to what we're used to. It broadened my horizons. In this country, you couldn't talk me into eating squid and octopus and all the other kind of weird stuff that they kind of force, you know, put in front of you. And as opposed to not being rude, you know, you eat it. Wrestling's completely respected. A lot of people live at the dojo that we stayed at. They, you know, eat, breathe, sleep professional wrestling. And definitely in that atmosphere, you can do nothing but improve your game. And I think since coming back from Japan mentally, besides pushing myself in my matches, I'm just a lot more of a confident wrestler, because certainly if I can have good matches with people that I can't communicate with in front of fans, that I can't communicate with, and I can't rely on jar-jacking or whatever, then certainly I'm doing something right.
Definitely, that's awesome. And going back, I guess, real quick to the 1-2-3 Kid, did you kind of watch?
The sushi and the beer is good too, by the way, but.
Yeah. Going back to the 1-2-3 Kid, I guess, did you kind of watch like WCW and WWF growing up? And I guess, like, if so, like, who were kind of like some of your favorites, I guess, around that time? Because you probably, you know, grew up like in the era with like Superstars and Challenge and Saturday Night that I kind of did too. So there's probably like there was so much stuff, I guess. Like, what was kind of like some of your favorite stuff from that time period?
Well, like, I'm 23 now. And I got into wrestling, like, kind of late. Like, I know a lot of, probably most of the people in professional wrestling, you know, have been watching it. I've gone to shows with their dad. And I was never drugged to any shows by my parents or anything when I was a kid. And so I think I probably got into wrestling in about 8th or 9th grade, in which I became obsessed with it. 6th grade in particular, just a quick story, I kind of remember, like, remember there was that period of about 3 years where everybody and their mom and their dead grandma watched professional wrestling, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I think I was in 6th grade, and kids would come up to me and be like, yo, the kids I never talked to, by the way, because they were much more cool, popular kids, they'd come up to me like, yo, Rocker Austin. Like, Rocker Austin? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, was it like comic book? Like, it's a comic question. Surely I would probably, you know, understand. But kids I want to talk to would, you know, you have to choose a side. Just pick one, Rock or Austin. And then I think by that summer, a few years later, I played the, you know, the great WCW versus NWO game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that slowly conjured into much professional wrestling on a more regular basis. But sorry for not even such a tangent. Just, I thought the very gang-like atmosphere of kids coming up to you in the hallways and be like, yo, Rock or Austin, you gotta pick a side.
Exactly.
pretty entertaining. We actually had a kid break his leg. My first real memory of professional wrestling, I think, was we had a kid break his leg on the playground because another kid had given him a Stone Cold Stunner. They had saw on TV. And we had a big school assembly telling us the dangers of professional wrestling and the banning of the Austin 316 shirts at school.
Yeah,
and perhaps somewhere during that assembly, while they were telling us the dangers of pro wrestling, a light bulb went off my head and said, you know what, I'm going to do this for a living.
When did you know? When did you know that this is what you wanted to do? What flipped the switch from all this stuff is pretty cool to watch. I actually want to get in the ring and do it.
Yeah, I think one of my personality traits and why I'm kind of it's both good and bad. I'm kind of really good. I'm pretty good at a lot of stuff, but not great at a lot of stuff. If that makes any sense. Is because for me to really indulge in any form of media, I have to almost see myself being super successful at it in some way, shape, or form. So, I'm pretty good at guitar now, but the reason I'm good at guitar now is because 3 years ago, I freaking saw Hanson. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be the next Hanson, brother. Let me, shred this guitar up, Or, I wanted to go to film school, so all of a sudden I learned everything I could about film, and kind of interest kind of died that way. But I think with professional wrestling, I started collegiately wrestling in junior high school. So between that and my obsession of comic books, the more I started watching professional wrestling and seeing them as the kind of medium between the two and how they kind of mesh the two forms of entertainment together, I completely became obsessed with it. And hence I thought, certainly if I'm going to become obsessed with it, and spend my money on it, and learn everything about it, I might as well make it a career decision. So right around the era of Kurt Angle and Chris Jericho debuting in WWF is when I first got into it. So I'm playing the, we talked about, N64 games, and, actually, I think about 11th grade, when I joined the Chicago Wrestle Factory, it was the first time I ever heard of the Independents. So, I had no idea. I hardly knew what ECW was by that point in time when I joined up with Chikara.
Now, you mentioned the N64 games, and, we all have our favorite characters from the game. Personally, I love Scott Norton and WWE Double Revenge.
Sure.
If you were to make a King of Trios team, if you and two guys from those games were to get together and decide to kick some Chikara butt, who would you put together for the King of Trios team with yourself and these guys?
That's a good question. I'd have to say... I'd probably throw in WCW Rey Mysterio because of how awesome he was at that time. And then probably the guy that got me into those games was Lex Luger. So I'd throw him in too.
Yeah.
But not the Lex Luger with the weird tights, the Lex Luger with the American tights. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, SummerSlam 93.
That's the Lex Luger we want.
Yeah, it was a variant in I think the Revenge game. If you toggled with the outfits, one of them was the USA outfit. Yeah.
They tried to hide it. They should just make it the main one. Make it the only one. I don't care.
We brought it up earlier. You will be participating in the HWA Heartland Cup in a couple weeks here in Owensville, Ohio. I just wanted to get your thoughts because this is a pretty big deal. It's the most national attention I think the HW has gotten in a while. You got BJ Whitmer, Jimmy Jacobs, Sammy Callahan, Necro Butcher. Just announced the other day Zack Sabre Jr. is possibly replacing Jon Moxley if he can't make the tournament. There's also some local. There's Paul Burchill as well. That's a big deal. He hasn't really worked a lot of indies.
Yeah, Paul Burchill.
But I wanted to get your thoughts. There's a lot of local guys, a lot of Midwest guys that they've gotten buzz around here. I know in Indiana, I hear about these guys a lot. But the Jesse.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of Christian Hame, and I believe the Irish Airborne event as well.
Yeah, the Irish Airborne. Jesse Emerson's a guy that I just got to see at IPW the other night. He's pretty good. Dustin Reyes. Just curious on your opinion, because you've gotten to work a lot of Midwest indies in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Of your opinion of who you think around the Indiana, Ohio, Michigan area and guys in this tournament you think are, if the right guy just sees them, they're going to break out.
James Chan.
Yeah, I moved to Cincinnati about 2 years ago, kind of just to get away from the East Coast because I felt like it was kind of oversaturated and I wanted to work a different style and I wanted to kind of grasp different, you know, regional traits and kind of improve my mat game. And I found the HWA, which was pretty local to me, and they kind of took me into the, you know, wing, which is great. It's kind of like a homecoming for me. And, you know, guys, certainly that promotion, I was always entertained with, like, Christian Hayne whenever he came around to there. I met and heard of John Moxley for the first time when I was there. I think it was maybe a month or two before he started CZW, maybe, or maybe it just started CZW. Aaron Williams, Dustin Reyes, Jesse Emerson, Irish Airborne are amazing. They're probably one of the best tag teams, I think, to not really ever get a huge shock, if you will, because whenever I see them wrestle, they always throw the show. They're just that good.
I agree. I think they've been getting like a lot of talk lately about how good they are and how kind of they're kind of waiting for someone to give them a big shot, so hopefully that happens soon. Tom, did you want to still talk about it? Was there anything about it?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, because his opponent in the first round, Jeremy Madrox, I saw a picture of him the other day. This dude has an epic mustache. Like, it goes out past his face. This thing's insane. Now, as a grappler, a elite-level grappler like yourself, how would you go about if, you know, you have an opponent with a mustache, how would you go about working over that mustache and making sure, you know, you don't come in my ring with, you know, the waxed up mustache, or you just kind of hope and pray that the guy doesn't spin around like a helicopter and knock your head off?
Well, you know, I certainly won't be doing a lot of headlocks because I imagine that awful mustache that he has, compared to almost Condolini's or Vin Gerard's at one point in time, will just rub all nasty on me and be all sweaty. So there certainly won't be any headlocks, but maybe if I can distract the referee for a second, I can shave it.
I wanted to ask Tim real quick, during Bryan Danielson's little, I guess, excursion from WWE this past summer, you got to wrestle him in Cleveland, and in my opinion, I thought it was actually one of the better Danielson matches since, you know, when he kind of took his break, just because it was kind of worked differently than a lot of other Danielson matches that he had, I think, like, during that that run. Yeah, like, what were your thoughts on it? Because I'm sure, like, it was probably, like, you know, it was probably a thrill for you to wrestle the guy, you know?
I had, I think maybe I met him one time before at an ROH pre-show, like, years prior. And then on one of my, like, long-winded tangents tonight, and again, I apologize about that, but my mind's, you know, all over the place, obviously.
Tangents are welcome on this show. They've been on many times before. Don't worry. You fit right in.
That works for me. I'm sure in mine I have less curtains or whatever.
I want you as a regular on this show, Tim Don. So you've been a good interview so far. You could
That's
be our regular.
Thank you guys for having me.
Our regular BDK correspondent. But anyway, yeah, Danielson match.
Yeah. So you know, like I had said in a long winded string of words, is I didn't know what the Indies were when I joined Chicago. You know, thank God Chikara is, in my opinion, the best independent, you know, in the world right now because of the product they put on and because Quack's so good at training and making you teach, you know, learn the respect about professional wrestling. And at that point in time, you know, Chris Hero was there. Obviously, he's awesome. And Jorge Rivera Escada, I didn't know what the Indies were. And so one of the students gave me a old TPI tape and, like, an old, like, Texas Wrestling Academy, I believe it's called, tape. To kind of, you know, broaden my horizons and let me know, hey, you know, you're not gonna be working, you know, Rock and Austin the next month. You might be wrestling one of these guys if you get a shot. And my very first match I've ever saw was actually a match between Spanky and Bryan Danielson. Mm-hmm. And since then, you know, Danielson was the first indie guy that I could recognize, you know, out of a lineup, if you will. And
yeah,
I was always
exactly.
A huge fan of work.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I know, I was going to say, exactly. Like, he was, like, you know, in the first, like, ROH main event, so he was always, like, you know, kind of, like, one of the big indie guys, I guess, to break out and start, like, you know, this huge movement and stuff like that, you know, in a way.
Yeah, definitely. And he was, like, the first guy that really got me into independent wrestling, because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know any names. And, you know, went to him to WWE, I thought, well, you know, there goes that dream match. That will never happen. And then, you know, because of all those circumstances, he got released. And I'm not sure how familiar you were with Chikara's show the night before in Michigan, but, like, I choked out Flamer with a tie. And I was, I had him that day, he told one of his friends, and I didn't tell him I was about to do that, or I didn't do anything, you know, similar to that. So I wasn't sure if, in the back of his mind, he'd be a little pissed off about that and take it out on me the next day. But, I don't think he did. I don't think he minded. And, that was one of my favorite matches I ever had. It kind of let me know mentally that I could hang with anybody. It was a really good time. I'm really glad I got to do it.
Now, real quick, I did want to ask, what are the chances of us getting a Alaskan Moonhoppers reunion in 2011, yourself and Colt Cabana?
A what reunion?
Alaskan Moonhoppers. I tell you guys, I saw you guys, at that show in Lafayette.
That was a while ago, huh? Probably not for some time, I'd say. I don't know how much, you know, being in Indiana, you follow AIW, but, I just beat him up a few, maybe a month or two ago. But perhaps you can get him on the show and try to talk him into it.
Yeah, usually punching the guy in the face will result in him not wanting to team with you anymore. But
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah. So we do want to thank you very much once again for coming on the show. And like Mike said, we want to get you on as often as possible because this was awesome. Much more N64 talk when you're on next time. And a lot more questions we want to ask you next time you're on. But real quick, you know, you're doing King of Trios. You got the Heartland Cup coming up. Where can people find Tim Donst online or any dates you have coming up?
Yeah, you can just go to myspace.com. I believe it's / House of Hopes. I have a Facebook under Tim Doms, a Twitter under T Doms, and a really out-of-date URL account under www.doms.com. So you can check me out on all of those.
Very awesome. So with that, unless you have anything else you wanted to ask, Mike?
No, I'm good, man. I just want to thank Tim for coming on and King of Trios this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun, so... Looking forward to it.
So for that, once again, we want to thank Tim very much. And when you hear our voices next here on the show, we will have Leonard F. Chikarison on the line. So once again, thank you all for listening and stay tuned. And we're back on the line. Mike's still here. I'm still here. And instead of Tim Donst on the line, we do have another very handsome gentleman, the commander of the commentation station. He will be at King of Trios this weekend. Leonard F. Chikarison's on the line to help us preview King of Trios. And Leonard, how's Timothy Stack doing?
Timothy Stack is doing just fine. Again, how dare you run the good name of Son of the Beach through the mud.
I love that show. I wasn't insulting him. I was just saying this referee at IPW looks just like him. It was freaky. He seemed to only ref this one match, and it was like, what the crap's going on? But yeah, I wasn't not running his name in the mud. Timothy Stack's a good man.
They're missing the boat by not capitalizing on the character. You know, he played himself on My Name is Earl when that was still on TV. And it was essentially just a miserable, broken down, old drunk version of himself, which is like lecherous and horrible. And, I hate nonsense when like referees have their own, shtick going on, like way over the top where they're like a character wearing a costume and all that sort of nonsense. But come on, he looks like Timothy Stack. Let's get on that, guys. Come on.
Yeah. My Name is Earl thing. Didn't he say something like, people tell me that I was on Parker Lewis for 3 years, but I totally don't remember that. Like, I distinctively remember an episode where he said that, and I cracked up. Because Parker Lewis, you know,
I wouldn't doubt it. Well, remember when they had the knockoff, obviously, Parker Lewis can't lose with the knockoff of Ferris Bueller. But do you remember the Ferris Bueller TV show that was, like, really, really short-lived?
I think I saw, like, the first episode, which might be, like, one of two episodes made, maybe? Or, like, I remember seeing it on YouTube, like, a couple years ago. Like, someone somehow uploaded the whole thing, and until YouTube realized, oh, we only do 10-minute videos. But it was something. But you did, by the way, Parker Lewis, incredibly overpriced on DVD. It's like $50 most places, which is ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that is ridiculous.
Like Freaks.
I was more of a fan of Herman's Head, which was in, I guess, the later 1990 Fox 9:30 sitcom that never lasted, I guess. I don't even think that's out on DVD, so.
Yeah, I'm a big Herman's Head fan. There was a Beardley Smith, star of The Chaperone.
Yes.
She was in that, and she also, you know, there's the Lisa Simpson voice, and there was an episode of The Simpsons where they threw a joke in there, like, kind of knocking, kind of playing that she was on Herman's Head. She was laughing at some sort of evil scheme she had for Bart, and they're like, what are you laughing at? She's like, oh, something funny I saw on Herman's Head in a really unconvincing way. And my brother and I, who are still obsessed with The Simpsons to this day, we say that to each other all the time just to get a rise out of each other.
That's awesome. And by the way, I always thought Son on the Beach was underrated, too. It actually did run for a couple seasons, so I don't know if it was really actually like a failed FX sitcom like you had kind of written up there, Tom, but
well,
I know it kind of in later years. Because didn't like JBL's valet, like remember she was on it, too, like the last season, and then she kind of... Porcelain Bidet, right? Was that her name?
I think the case was FX seems to run everything for two seasons, with the exception of like Lights Out and that Starved show about the dude with the eating disorder. Like other than that, everything seems to get like at least two seasons on that. We were talking about how Parker Lewis can't lose, and if I were him, I would enter into King of Trio since you know he can't lose and all. And that's what we're here to talk about for the most part. King of Trios coming up this week in the big 16-team trios extravaganza, all sorts of fun stuff going down. And, it's going to be awesome. And I don't know.
I actually think it's the biggest one ever. And I don't know, Chikar Carson, if you agree. I mean, and I'm sure that, you know, every year it kind of seems like it gets bigger. But this year, I mean, you know, you got the 1-2-3 Kid, you got the great Sasuke, you got Dick Togo coming basically for his last U.S. appearance. Not like he's made so many U.S. appearances, you know, in the last couple of years anyways, but a lot of, you know, big people come in and it's real special. And I guess, like, what's it like, you know, in the Chikara office right now, I guess, heading into the weekend?
It's very hectic, to say the least. Mm-hmm. As things approach this upcoming Friday, it's just email upon email. The email started on Sunday of just like, hey, don't forget this, the assignments of who has to pick up who at the airports, who's staying mm-hmm. where. In town, you know, while, you know, running in Philly is one thing, but being in Philly for all three of those days, that's three people who, whether they have a flight from another country or, you know, a 3 or 4 hour drive, they're still going to probably stay in town. So there's tons of planning that needs to be done, just making sure everybody has a roof over their head this weekend.
Yeah.
But again, what it all comes down to is it's all worth it for the wrestling. You mentioned before the biggest King of Trios, and everybody argues what their favorite King of Trios is. And my favorite one is the one that Retail Dragon was in. That's my favorite one.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, team, that other show that Alan Farrell is on.
Is that the show that is not to be named on this show?
Jokingly, yeah. Because Alan's our direct competition. Because we do, like, I always joke, like, why does Alan come on our show? Because it's not like any of his audience isn't already listening to us. But we're the bootleg Dr. Keith Presents in a way. We're like the GoBots version.
No, don't
a little bit more.
Short.
We're more like a little bit indie, yeah. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah,
you need to start contacting people and signing them to exclusive contracts to only appear on your show,
and that'll
be really worthwhile. I think that's the best idea in the world.
Well, I would like to announce that ROH did snag Bobby Cruz away from us. He was we were negotiating with him, but they stole him away. Gosh darn it! And also Mystico. We were this close, but that darn trampoline.
We were so close. Oh. And then, you know, Trix,
they offered him the trampoline. I couldn't find my trampoline in my dad's shed. And then, like, Hunter runs up to him and is like, we got one. And Mystico's like, where do I sign?
Hey, man, maybe after yesterday, maybe it's better off for you not for a trampoline. I feel so bad. He's 0-2 right now on that dive.
Well, he hit it on SmackDown.
Yeah, he did hit on SmackDown, but SmackDown's not live, and people aren't probably watching, you know, SmackDown as many people, you know, watch Raw, obviously, and I don't know. What did you think of that real quick? I know we're kind of jumping off. Yeah.
Oh, no, I had a question. Did he have the trampoline at the house show?
No, he, like, just kind of walked out, like, triumphantly. Like, his dude, him just, like, kind of walking slowly is way cooler than him doing the big, like, I'm going to jump because I'm a Hispanic, which is kind of what they do with all the Hispanic dudes in WWE. I'm not trying to, like, be, like, racist and stuff, but that's what they do with all the like, going back to Tito Santana, those dudes were jumping up and down for no reason at all. Ray did it. Tito Santana did it. I think even Ultimo Dragon did it because I think Vince thought, you know, the whole mask thing, you know, equals luchador. But no, he just kind of walked out with like this presence to him because he got over like huge just being the dude from the videos. And to the once again, the little white kids over in the section next to us, he was Mystico.
I almost thought that when you said that you didn't want to be racist, that's not what you're going to do. I honestly got that you were going to say that's what Naylor's here for, but again, I can't
see that. Dude, no, that's what Nick Manoa's here for.
No, again, I think Nick and I just have issues with internet humor and so forth. But it was just so funny, I was listening to your show, and it was like he literally named off every single person that's been on your show and said, yeah, they're all awesome. And then, like, I think he had a list, but his thumb was over my name. And that's what I'm going to attribute it to.
Dude, he left out Joe Gagne, too, because Joe mentioned something. So, yeah, you and Joe.
Joe Gagne's awesome, by the way.
Absolutely. By the way, Mike, we got to get him on the show, like, before the wedding so he can give me, like, advice on how to be a married wrestling fan with a kid, you know.
Oh, well, wait. You know what you should do? And, again, I hope I get a cut of the money on this one because I know you guys are raking in that podcast.
All $6 that we've made.
You should have him on the show and do, like, a history show of all, like, weddings in wrestling and talk about them. Because I know he knows all that, like, crazy old stuff, you know, all those old WWE wedding storylines that they did and things like that. And he'd be perfect to talk about that because I'm sure he remembers them. And has probably has the DVD already made. He's like, oh, now I have a use for this.
I am in fact sending the note to our secretary Tom Richards. He will notate that for us at the Mike and Tom offices. So, and it'll include like the F word when it gets forwarded back to everybody else in the office like 8 times. And then Joey will throw in something about Akuma that I don't want to repeat on the show. But anyway. King of Trios! It's happening!
King of Trios!
Yeah. Why not? You know,
what match you looking most forward to, I guess, Chikaris? And I guess, you know, is it Michinoku Pro and Team Minnesota, I guess? Or Quack Jigsaw and Toyota and Rather Maximos? There's a lot of, you know, different kind of stuff, I guess. Like, what kind of, you know, personally piques your interest the most?
See, there's so many good matches on there. There's so many, like, little variables in each and every match. You know, you mentioned before, you know, Team Michinoku Pro, them, you got Team Minnesota with, 1-2-3, get in there. That's awesome. I think the Colony and the Batiri with Kazarni is gonna, you know, be really good. I'm very interested to see what happens with Jacob in there for the BDK, you know, Taka Pro guys, but the one match in the first round that I really, really, really think is gonna be awesome is the Dragon Gate versus, Spectral Envoy team. I think that match is gonna be killer.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, Tozawa's in it, and I think, you know, like, the other two guys, too, this is their first time over, because they haven't even been with Dragon Gate USA, so it's definitely going to be a great match. Plus with Frightmare, too, I think Frightmare, actually, not Frightmare, I think Ultramantis and Tozawa interaction is going to be a lot of fun. I think that's going to be real cool, too, so a lot of really cool things I'm looking forward to in this time.
Yeah, I was going to mention 3.0 Olay versus the Osirian Portal, just because I really, 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 really want to see Hirokan wrestle El Generico. Like, that's going, like, those two in the ring together will be magic and a half. And also, Leonard, real quick, I wanted to ask you, because I've heard pronunciations both ways. Is it Jacob or Jakob?
Well, you can't ask me how to pronounce things, especially when the Japanese people come in. I get run through the... I get raked over the coals for my pronunciation of things. I call him Jacob. He wants everyone to call him Jacob, so I'm not calling him that.
Okay, just figured because I said Jakob on the Donce part, and then he said Jacob, so I was like, I had a little bit of egg on my face. I'm like, oh man,
yeah.
I wanted to sound all cool and German like, and then Tim Don just shut me down. No, I am actually really interested to see the BDK Soul Touches match since I do have that issue. And, you know, I figure it's going to be way different than the rest of the matches of the night where, you know, you got, you know, all these dream matches and people doing cool things. I think the BDK and the Soul Touches are going to be way more of like a throwdown type deal with like, I'm just awaiting that moment where like, Jacob like stumbles backwards into Willie Richardson and he puts on that goofy face that he always has when he stumbles into somebody that's going to beat him up. And then Willie drops the bomb because, you know, he is the bomb. Literally, he's much like a villain in Super Mario World. He's gonna blow up.
Now,
I didn't get a chance. Oh, sorry, brother. Go ahead, man.
No. You go ahead. I'll ask when you're done.
No, I was gonna say that. Did Donce let out any of his strategy coming in for the weekend? There, he's got like the wild card team, if you will. Like, really, how do you prepare for Delirious and Jacob? Jacob, who has one match under his belt, and Delirious, who is out of his mind. And then Donce, who's been on a roll, you know, outside of his Hollow Wicked interactions, did he let slip any of his plans for the weekend?
No, though he did. We did compare all of his previous King of Trios teams, and he thinks he has the best one yet here. More than likely, because he'll be the brains of the operation, the leader of the team. He'll be able to move the puzzle pieces, but then again, with Delirious, I don't really know how you move that puzzle piece the way that you want to, but
once team up with Andy Sumner and
Team Andrew, Team Andrew and Tim Donce. I forget if they even had a trio's name, but they were the guys that do amateur wrestling and Sambo very well. Should have been their team.
And he says that Delirious and Jacob are better than those two, for shame.
I was going to say,
Mike, I cut him off like six times. What were you going to say there, man?
No. It's cool, man. No, I was going to say Donce was also saying because the BDK, he's, I guess, obviously wrestled the Soul Touches a few times before. So, you know, they kind of have their history in Chikara. So there's obviously that, too. And I guess BDK feels confident. And it's the only BDK team. And as well, I think last year there were two different ones. And then I guess this year it's the Soul team. So they have a lot of pressure, I guess, to win it back-to-back years, I guess. But one thing I also wanted to say was I think I've seen Kage Tora before, but Super Shiza, I guess, is supposedly really good, and I haven't seen too much of him. I know Alan was saying how, I guess, very good as he is. Have you seen any of him, and how is he, I guess, if you can kind of describe his ring style?
I saw a match of Shiza when I did the commentary for one of the Wrestle Jam DVDs, and it was a very early match of his, and I don't think it was the best showcase of his talent. I definitely think he can do and has done a lot more since that match. I think the match is from like 2006 or 2007 or whatever it was, and I know he's come a long way since then, and, you know, as you guys mentioned before, if not, you know, his first time in the States, it's his first time in a long time in the States, so, again, and they don't usually come over for Dragon Gate USA, so they're definitely coming into King of Trios, and I think they're going to definitely come to impress.
For sure, and yeah. It's weird, I'm like not the Japanese wrestling nerd at all, but I've actually seen quite a bit of Super Shiza. He's the dude that like actually got me into Dragon Gate, because I got a hold of one of their like really early pay-per-views, and I saw him on there. He was way different because... I don't know, I haven't seen a lot of recent Shiza, but he was doing a lot of the British stuff along with the Dragon Gate style, which I thought was really, really cool. So, dude, him and Frightmare should tear it up, like, when they're in there together.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's the cool thing about King of Trios, is you always get these guys in that, you know, either people haven't seen for a long time, or they just haven't seen them at all. And, you know, there's always, like, the big eye-opening moment of the weekend, and there's going to be one this weekend with so many dudes, and like Percy could be the internet sensation of 2011. Let's be honest here, folks. Like, that dude could tear
he up. Could be,
yeah,
like that's actually a really interesting match, just because I think Fist, you know, this is like the first I guess version of this Fist 2.0 or 3.0 maybe, I guess, with Gargano added into it and kind of wrestling these Team Australia, no one really knows anything about him. I guess, is there has anything been leaked, I guess, in regards to Percy and Cabo and Tama Williams, it looks like the other two guys are?
Well, we here, in the lower end of the office these days have seen, you know, all the footage that's been online of these guys and a little bit of information that's been put out in that manner. But, again, many people would say that Fist is one of the top-rated teams to win this whole thing, and they're coming in there against a virtually unknown team. And, you know, you guys saying Percy could be the internet sensation, may not be the internet sensation, but beating Fist in the first round is really going to put a lot of eyes on them, not only in Shikara, back in Australia, and I'm sure other people will be looking at them too. So that's a definite match to keep your eye on as well. And, you know, in chill mode here with everything. And I know you guys were probably going to angle into this, but as the weekend goes on, of course, nights 2 and 3 has Rey de Voladores as well. And that's always, always awesome.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up a little later because I actually just wrote something for the website today. I'm really excited about Rey de Voladores this year because, like, literally, like, because we usually see, you know, at least a few guys that have their teams have lost in the first round, you know, get into the tournament as well as some surprises as usual. But literally, like, I'm looking up and down the lineup and it, like, almost every single team, you know, if they go out in the first round, have at least one guy, that would be awesome. And Rey de Voladores, like the potential's there for it to be the best, you know, Rey de Voladores ever on possibly the best King of Trios tournament ever. I mean, this thing has, it's just leaking, oozing with potential, much like Ivan ooze in the Power Rangers movie. Just ridiculous talent roster. Like, if somebody cannot find something they go nuts over on this lineup, like, I don't really know if they like wrestling. Like, the frickin' 1-2-3 kids wrestling Hakushi. Like, The 8-year-old in me is going nuts looking at the picture of those two lined up against each other for this Friday night. Let alone, I can't imagine, you know, being there. You're going, right, Mike?
I will be there, yes.
I can't imagine being there live and, like, seeing those two and not, like, jumping up and down and yelling at Hakushi to do the dive on Ted DiBiase because he's a jerk who buys people souls. You know?
Oh, goodness. So, Mike, you know, Tom, you're not coming, obviously. It's quite a haul for you, and, of course, you've got much more important things coming up in the next couple of weeks.
A little bit.
But are you making the trip alone, Mike, or are you going to have partners with you?
Friday I'm probably going up by myself, and then I will probably not be going Saturday, unfortunately, but Sunday I will be there with some friends. So I will be there, and I will be reporting back here on this show. So I will be there Sunday.
Will there be a live in the car segment for Sunday?
There will be. There will be, yes. Actually, it'll just be me on Friday, so it probably won't be. But there will be an in the car for Chikar on the Sunday, so you have that to look forward to.
I don't even want to ask what could be more important than missing night 2 of King of Trios. I'll just pretend that you're getting some sort of severe surgery done that day.
Yeah, I was going to say, recovery. I didn't even say that.
Yeah, Mike, good job. I'm going to do an in-the-car about driving home from work, because that's
there
what
I'm
doing Saturday. Or not even Saturday, I think I have Saturday off. I think I'm going to go into my folks' place to do laundry. But I'm sure going to be on my phone looking up
talk
results. So, yeah. And hoping and praying that, you know, if the 1-2-3 kid's out in the first round, he's in Rey de Voladores. Like, that's my one dream, is that if Team Minnesota loses, I want to see the 1-2-3 kid in there with, like, Pinky Sanchez and Zack Sabre Jr. and all those awesome flippy kids of 2011. Because, I don't know, it would blow my mind. So, please, wink. Whatever you do, please wink. If the 1-2-3 kid loses, throw him in Rey de Voladores, because I would love you forever, dude.
Wink's a weird dude. You know, I know 1-2-3 kid is on the shows this weekend, but I don't even know if Wink, like, knows who the 1-2-3 kid is. Like, he barely knows who anyone in Chikara is. It's really weird talking to him about stuff. I don't know if you guys heard him on commentary from the Brooklyn show, but I don't want to say that, like, he's out of it, because, like, he's really, you know, cognitive and, you know, really, really on the ball with that sort of thing, but, like, when it comes to wrestling, like, I don't know. He's, like, kind of, like, flighty.
Well, then
he's Stephanie McMahon of Chikara right now. Perhaps. <Jeez.
laughs> Just real quick as a side note, before continuing about King of Trio stuff, all the Dave Lagana things that have been posted up, whether it be the ones that were on the Observer before WrestleMania, the ones that he does on the I Want Wrestling site, I love, love, love when he has the writers on there and they all refer to Stephanie as she who will not be named. That kills me. Kills me. I just die laughing every time they say it.
But since, you know, like you said, Wink's not exactly familiar with the product, do us all a favor. Bring up one of the WCW blog directs from the site on your phone that weekend and pull up the picture of the Super Shockmaster from the first one and suggest that he gets put in Rated of Old Warriors. I think that might be better than 1-2-3 Kid. Thank you. Because I think that needs to happen more than anything.
So I'm going to put it to you guys. Mike, you're going to be there for the shows, and Tom, you'll be following intently on the interwebs. Pick me a winner. Who do you guys think is going to be this year's King Trios winner?
All right, I'll go first. I'm going with the Colony. I think they're the best overall Chikara Trios, and I think even with, you know, the outside teams coming in, I don't know. I think they got a hard first round because I think Kazarian and the Batiri, you know, they got a good Trios as well. But I don't know. I think the Colony, I think I'm going with them for the to win this year. Tom?
I'm going with the Osirian Portal. Those dudes are red hot right now, both in terms of the whole YouTube thing blowing up, and ever since they added Hirokon to the team, I don't believe they've lost a match in Chikara as a trio since then. So unless I could be wrong.
I'm with you, Tom. Since they debuted, even before he was Hirokon, when they made their debut in Reading back in December, as a trio, they have been undefeated, and I'd be hard-pressed for me to, you know, not think that they got a really good shot at making it to the finals. Now, obviously, who their opponents in the finals could be, but, you know, I would not be surprised to see the Osirian Portal in the final, and I'd be even less surprised to see them win. But that's my own.
For sure.
That's a very good stat. Yeah. They're undefeated, so that's very cool. I mean, they haven't, you know, been teaming up, you know, for a long time, but still, so very cool.
Though, if we are going to be wagering bets and such, if we go on that website that put up bets for WrestleMania and all, because they're obviously doing King of Trios, I would go, if I would put money on it, I would go with the Spectral Envoy, just because they've, you know, they're Chikara veterans, and they've got, you know, the Young Lions Cup champion, and they've got arguably the best homegrown student in the history of the school in Hollow Wicked, and they've got Manus, but people aren't really looking at them just because they haven't been, I don't think they've had more than one or two trios matches, so they could steal it in the end. So if I were putting money on them, because I bet the odds would be longest, but the whole gambling thing, don't do it, kids. It's lots of debt and you'll end up weird places, let's just say. So let's not go there with the gambling.
Did you just say there's a site online that was taking bets on WrestleMania?
Yes, and I guess WWE employees were actually like going on the website and putting up bets.
Like, I think you can only bet so much money. I think I don't think you could bet $1 million, you know, and put it on edge or anything like that. But I think it was only you could have bet though. I think it actually did occur.
Now, do either of you remember there was a website around the year 2000 or 2001 where it was predict the man that will be WWF champion by, the end of the year? It was some, weird British website, and they had choices of, Bill Goldberg and Sting. It was, a really big deal, and then someone told them that WWE might not be the most solid thing to place bets on, let's just say. And they were all no, really? And they took it down.
There was a site, and I wish I could remember when it was. Are you guys familiar with the website Hollywood Stock Exchange?
Vaguely, I know the name, and
It's just it's a stupid website where it's movies that are out or movies that are coming out, and, you know, you bet fake money, essentially, toward, credits on the site or whatever it is to buy, merchandise or whatever. You know, you bet, I think, you know, I'm going to bet $10,000 that Green Lantern's going to do good at the box office, and then you watch as it goes up and down like a stock exchange. Well, around that same time, 2001 to 2002, there was a similar sign for wrestling. And it was like WWF and WCW wrestlers. And like, all right, who's going to have the best match? Or who's going to win? Or who's going to lose? Or who's going to win a title? And it was like this really weird sign. And I wish I could remember the name of it. But I was like, I'm like, wow, this is like the silliest thing ever.
Betting on who's going to have the best match is like the most horrible thing I've ever heard. Like it's subjective. I could go on a website and be like, hey, everybody, Tugboat versus Earthquake was the best match of such and such WWF show. It's my opinion, you know? So that's ridiculous, but... And speaking... go ahead.
I was going to say, there was a time in my life where I thought the Hardcore Mafia vs. Reality Check Falls Count Anywhere in BCW was the best match I'd ever seen. Little did I know.
I forgot what it was. Oh, speaking of early 2000s internet stuff, I had a really cute Chikara Promotions War joke in my head, but I forgot it. Promotion Wars, by the way, was the game that preceded EWR for all you youngins out there. I know we have a couple that listen. One of them, I guess, there was like a 13-year-old kid at IPW that I overheard like talking about the website, which was kind of cute. I didn't go up to him just because I didn't want to be like, hey, are you talking about Mike and Tom? Because I'm Tom. I didn't want to do that. But, no. So, it's all good.
Just one thing real quick I want to mention about that is I mentioned last time, you know, you'd ask, hey, anything you want to plug? And I'd mentioned my local comic book shop. And many, many moons ago, while I was there, and, you know, as I'm sure you're aware, especially like with Chikara, but especially these days, a lot of people who like wrestling sometimes will cross over with people who like comic books. And I have two interesting stories in regards to that. One was a kid who was there, like, wearing, like, the very first ever Ring of Honor shirt that they ever made. Like, you know, the one where it was, like, the hand shaking on the back?
Yeah.
So I'm at the shop and picking up my books, and I see he's wearing the shirt. I'm like, oh, hey, Ring of Honor, that's pretty cool. So then he starts talking to me, like, you know, hey, you know, blah, blah, wrestling, this, that, the other thing. And then he mentions, Easton Chikara shows this, that, the other thing. And it's not like he was saying it to me because he's like, hey, you're Leonard Chikara, so I'm going to talk Chikara. He had no idea who I was. And it's not like I'm, like, in the middle of the ring or, like, you know, anything like that. But, you know, I was wearing a Chikara hat, and, you know, I'm somewhat kind of noticeable, and he's been to shows. But he had, like, no idea. But, like, and at that point, do I mention, like, oh, you're talking about Chikara. You know who I am. So I didn't do any of it. I don't think he still knows to this day. And we talk about wrestling all the time. I don't think he knows to this day that I'm Leonard F. Chikarason. But then conversely, there's another kid who actually works at the comic book shop. And he had pulled my order that day. And so the people don't come and steal my comic books. I have them under a different name. And I was talking to someone, like, yeah, I'm going to be out of town this weekend because we have to go, you know, because it's the first Dragon Gate show. It was the weekend of the first Dragon Gate show. And the kid just, like, stops in his tracks and, like, wait a minute. Dragon Gate shows? He's like, oh, my God, you're Leonard F. Chikarason. And it was, like, this huge, big thing in the middle of the comic book shop. And, like, how do you explain that to other people? It's like, yes, I'm Leonard F. Chikarason.
Well, first off, since it was the Dragon Gate show, you should have been like, no, I'm Chikara-san. I've been all, like, uppity about it.
I wasn't Chikara-san yet. It was right before the first show.
I adore how that's the only name that Dave Meltzer knows you under, is Chikara-san. and much like he only knows Alan Cunahan under the name of Dr. Keith Lipinski. No, have you guys seen that? Like, every time Alan does a show, he sends in the plug to Meltzer, and Meltzer posts, like, Dr. Keith Lipinski interviews Frightmare. Or something like that. It's always hilarious.
Yeah, no. He actually had one where it said Dr. Keith interviews Adam Cole, and it was actually me and Alan interviewing Adam Cole. So that was kind of weird.
It's on the website. Yeah, I think if you stack yourself on Alan's shoulders and then, like, shave one of you bald, you're about tall enough to be Dr. Keith. He's very giraffe-like in his ways. Like... I have a nephew that we call Jeff the Giraffe because he's got a giraffe neck, but I really think Dr. Keith looks like the giraffe from Toys R Us, with really, really big eyes. Not saying that mainly.
Jeffrey Giraffe?
What?
Jeffrey Giraffe?
Yeah, I just said that we call my nephew Jeffrey the Giraffe.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
Yeah, Mike. I'm going to turn on you at WrestleMania 5.
You know, let's let's bring it back around. Dr. Teeth is actually going to be hosting the pre-show of the King of Trios, the pre-show go-go live stream about 7 o'clock on Chikara's Ustream channel. It's going to be he, and I was talking to Dr. Teeth earlier, and he referred to his co-host, Steven Turtle Weiner, as the Brutal Master. He goes, the Brutal Master and I will be hosting the show on Friday night.
Oh, Steve Weiner. But moving on beyond that, by the way, I just read something, Mike. Your pick's totally going down the colony, because I guess it was just passed down that Drenak can't use that bionic arm. So,
Lex Luger.
Yeah, there was some release sent out today saying he has to wear a pad over it.
No way.
Yeah. So if Yokozuna was in this tournament, he would have no threat from Drenak. But
I know, right?
Yeah. And by the way, one team we haven't brought up is including one young man that's had it's on a hot streak of hot streaks right now. That being throwbacks of Matt Classic, Dasher Hatfield, and Sugar Dunkerton, who has been doing big things lately. And judging by his Twitter, I don't think there's a guy more excited to be doing anything on this planet than wrestling right now. So I just wanted to give big ups to Sugar, especially since, you know, he blew up the website that one time. So we're going to get you on some.
He hasn't been on the show yet. How come you guys can't line that up?
We're going to get him on this week, because I guess you want to spill the beans what we were going to do this week, Mike.
Go ahead, Tom.
Were going to do a show like every day with like a different Chikara personality. And then I got a new job, and then Mike had something going on with his life. And yeah.
Unfortunately, it was not meant to be, but we're gonna get him. We're gonna get him back. Guy, maybe we'll actually get him to recap King of Trios. So, I definitely want to get Sugar Hansen. So that'd be cool. Real quick, I guess. You go ahead, please.
I was gonna say, I know you mentioned Sugar on Twitter. I know the one person who absolutely loves Sugar Dunkerton's Twitter is Brody Lee. When he's driving the big rig on the highways, like he gets. If he could have someone sitting there reading them to him while he drove so he wouldn't have to use, like, a hands-free device, he would be all over that.
See, I'm picturing Brody Lee with, like, an iPad with, like, a rubber tire skin to it. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm just getting hip to this whole technology thing. I have, like, a Samsung Flight, as you probably heard on the or you could tell on the previous show where I had to record video or audio cassette quality audio. Now I don't even know what I was going to say, Mike. That's where you cover me. When I forget stuff, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple other non-Chikara things I want to talk about, and I know we kind of want to keep this at a decent time, so we won't go too long here. Fish, but
a three-hour spectacular.
Yeah, there you go. But just also real quick as well with the Rated Voladores tournament, Zack Sabre Jr. coming in. And I know we kind of talked about how he's not really a flippy guy more than he is like a technical guy. But I saw him this past Saturday, and he just completely blew me away. He's awesome. I've been watching him for a while now, and the guy is awesome. I'm really happy to see him in Chikara. And I think especially with, you know, like the style that Chikara wrestles with, like that technical Lucha Libre kind of style and, you know, that kind of British wrestling style and just – whatever. I think he would kind of fit right in because I think he kind of wrestles like that good, you know, like that kind of style that where you know, he would fit right in and not look too out of place. So really pumped up about Zack Jr. coming in. And I don't know if you have seen him, you know, Chikarison, but I guess, like, well, you know, what are your thoughts on, I guess, as far as the non-King of Trios tournament matches and stuff like that? Because it looks like Archibald Peck has an open challenge. Eddie Kingston has an open challenge, so lots of other stuff besides King of Trios, I guess, in plan for the weekend.
Well, you mentioned Zack Sabre Jr., and I think I mentioned on here before. I haven't seen a lot of him, and I was actually going to ask you, Mike, having seen him wrestle a bunch of times this past weekend. The only match I'd seen of his was the match that he had with Brian Danielson, and, you know, hey, I could have a good match with Brian Danielson.
Yeah.
I'm like two steps below the broom, but nonetheless. I'm excited for Zack Sabre Jr. Coming into Chikara. Anytime we get like new debuts and people like that in sleeper matches and things of that nature, I'm really excited about. Mm. And then Archibald Peck and Eddie Kingston having open challenges on both nights. And, you know, last time, you know, Archibald Peck came in, he faced the wrath of Eddie Kingston. I can only imagine what he's going to have to face on night two. I can only imagine.
I know
and
that.
Then Kingston, you know, you mentioned before, you know, as the weekend goes on, you know, teams get eliminated, people get freed up. And, you know, I look at the list of talent there, and while I'm sure they'd love to go on to the finals and win King of Trios, there's a lot of people in that I would love to see in a one-on-one contest with Eddie Kingston. I would love to see it.
I agree. Definitely.
For sure. So did you say you had more non-Chikara stuff you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask real quick, Chikara, and I guess just because we had him on a few weeks ago to preview it, how was Atlanta? How was WrestleMania weekend and the Dragon Gate Atlanta shows? I thought you sounded great on Saturday. The WWN feed is real good, and the audio looks real good. The video looks real good. You know, you came in, you know, and your commentary was actually in sync with the video, so, you know, that was a plus. And I guess, you know, what were kind of your thoughts on the weekend? I guess maybe that Sunday show that we didn't get to see that, you know, I heard there was a ton of good stuff on.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned the Sunday show, but that Friday show was a really good
show. Oh, yeah, and the Friday show, too. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Sami Callihan versus Rich Swann. I think they've wrestled each other before, but, man, did they really, really go out of their way to just, like, beat the snot out of each other. Same could be said for Gargano and Cena. Those two matches were so, so good. And, again, I appreciate the kind words on the commentary and so forth, but just all three shows were really good. And, you know, it's always, you know, it always makes up for, like, these long trips like that when you get to see really good wrestling and, you know, be a part of really good wrestling as well. And, you know, Yamato's both matches that he had on the weekend, whether the match against Aries or the match that he had against Tozawa on Sunday, just so much really good wrestling. And then the team that I can't say the name of here, at the very least, of Sami Callihan and Eric Cannon.
Yeah. D.U.F., right? But,
D.U.F.,
the,
man.
The Dirty Ugly Fellows.
There you go.
Oh, goodness.
See, if they're in King of Trios next year with somebody, boom, just did it right there. You know, so.
Yeah, I can't even think who could team up with them. Like, who in wrestling would, you know, make a good third for that team? You know, and not a knock on Sami, you know, but sometimes when he's in the ring, he makes those wacky faces and it kind of makes him look, you know, and again, not less attractive than he actually is. And, you know, Cannon's a pretty boy. He's always smiling. He's always got a nice look on his face. I think they need, like, somebody who's, like, real greasy and slimy to be their third, like a Vin Gerard type.
Vin Gerard, I was going to say, yeah, get Icarus.
I was going to mention Jerry Sags.
Oh, now that would be an awesome team. Yes. Sami Callihan, Eric Cannon, Jerry Sags.
Yes. Or bring in the Equalizer so that he can get revenge on the Nasty Boys. Because I'm watching, they're up to that point where the Nasties are beating up Dave Sullivan on the Saturday nights I'm watching, so... You know, I bet Dave Sullivan, you know, if you plugged his football team, he'd be willing to come in for real cheap. So send that in to Wink. Let him know. You know, Dave Sullivan, big superstar, lots of money. That's all you have to say to him.
Oh, goodness.
Did you have anything else you wanted to ask? Because I want to lay down a challenge to Leonard before we let him go.
No, that was pretty much I just kind of wanted to ask about the you know, Dragon Gate shows. The Chikara Brooklyn show just came out on DVD, $15, Smart Mark video, and I guess that's, you know, real good reviews. You know, the Brooklyn shows, I mean, both of them right now, you know, a lot of people have a lot of good praise about them, so those are out now, and I guess whatever you want to mention, Tom, go ahead.
Okay, I have a challenge I want to lay down, because we're friends, you know, I think I posted on the website, or at least on the F4W board, that if our site had a best friend, it would be Leonard F. Chikara. So,
well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
We appreciate the fact that you've been with us since the beginning. So, as Eddie Kingston would say, real recognizes real. I just lamed that up. But no, I wanted to lay down a challenge to you. There is a prize on the line if you achieve this at King of Trios this weekend. I know there's a lot going on. But there's a money prize at stake. If you can plug the website on commentary during at least one match on the show, I will PayPal you $1.25.
How much are you gonna lose on the PayPal transaction fees of sending $1.25?
There's a way, because I was PayPal $3 the other day, and I lost.
Oh, okay.
So. if you can pull it off, like Sugar Dugton, member of the 10 of 11 class of MikeAndTomPresent.com, or something similar to that, I will PayPal you $1.25.
All right.
And I will blur out all the personal information, but I will put up a screen cap of the transaction if it goes down or when.
I can't make any promises because usually my inside references on commentary are usually Howard Stern references to get a reaction out of Fire Ant. But other than that, I will do my best. Challenge accepted.
Thank you. You are a worthy, I was going to say adversary, but we're, it's not like we're, it's like you're challenging me to go out and plug Chikara at the grocery store I work at, you know? Like, right. Hey, how's it going? You know, you find everything all right? Go to ChikaraPro.com. You know,
wrestling show happens 11 hours east of here. If you want to go check that out when you're done taking your laundry detergent
exactly.
to your
you
car.
You like tomato soup? There's this guy there named Fire Ant. It's awesome. You got to go check him out.
Well, Tom, when Chikara comes to Chicago, are you going? Putting you on the spot here. But.
Probably not because I'm poor. If I can get a ride and the day off work, maybe. But isn't it like coming up here in about 6 or 7 weeks or so? Like it's June.
It's like the third week of June, yeah.
Yeah, I already have the Saturday before that off or something, so I don't think they're going to think too kindly of me taking 2 Saturdays off in a row. But if you do make it out for the Dragon Gate show in September, I will be there because there are lots of people I know from Canada and Kentucky and the East Coast that are coming to that show specifically to hang out in the Midwest because I've made them believe this is the filthiest, most disgusting place on the face of the planet. So I will be there.
I'm excited.
For sure. And I got to shake your hand and high five you. And Nick Mano will be there so he can give you that hug.
Yes, I owe him a hug. I owe him a big hug, a big bear hug, if you will.
Yeah, which, by the way, I can talk from experience. He's an excellent hugger. Like,
awesome.
He's very Danny Tanner-esque in his hugging ability. with that, once again, we do want to thank you very, very much for coming on the show and for, you know, supporting us and just being a great guy in general. If there's anything you want to plug, you know, the Twitter again, because I heard through the grapevine that we got you a few followers, so to speak.
Yes, and almost no bots follow me. Almost no bots follow me. But I'll take the bots too. I let them stay until they start like posting up stupid things. But yes, I owe you guys so much for getting me a whole bunch of new Twitter followers. So that's awesome. You know, you find me on the Twitter, Mushroom Jones. If you like comic book stuff, that's what you're mostly going to find. And, you know, other things of that nature. Also, everything Chikara is at kingoftrios.com, especially for this weekend. And I would be remiss not to mention, if you are going to be at the Asylum Arena in South Philadelphia live this weekend on any of the nights, whether it be Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, be sure when you go to get your merch at the Chikara merchandise, and there's really tons of awesome merchandise there, not just Chikara, but Smart Mark Video. Everyone else is going to have all their stuff out, but especially the Chikara merchandise. If you go there, the little redhead girl who runs the merchandise table, you need to give her as hard of a time as possible. Ask her to try on shirts. Ask her to try on masks. Don't have exact change for anything. Really give her a hard time because she deserves it. Her life isn't hard enough to begin with.
Done.
It's funny because I asked my fiance to try on masks, and I'm not finishing that joke. Anyway, I do want to once again thank everybody for listening. KingOfTrios.com. Be in Philadelphia this weekend if you're anywhere near there.
So excited.
I'm excited. I don't get to see it for like 3 weeks. So, and also again, If you're gonna be in near Chicago in June, don't be lame like me. Go to the Chikara show in Chicago, and you know Mushroom Jones on Twitter, gamble on wrestling because we need to all do that. We want to thank you all very much, and you all have an awesome King of Trios weekend.
Are you sure you want to live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people? You want to sleep with common people like me, but she didn't understand.
She just smiled and had my